Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Nun Beis. We left off in daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah, Nun Aleph Amud Beis. So a new sugya. Up until now we've been discussing halachas of hana'a, when you rip somebody off, when you charge him the wrong amount for an item, and we discussed the difference between less than a sixth, exactly a sixth, and more than a sixth, where we paskin like Rava, who said that when the hana'a, Rava had paskin, that when the Ona'a is more than a sixth, that's what's called Bittul Mekach, then it's going to be automatically Bittul Mekach, it's going to nullify the sale. When it's less than a sixth, it's Nikna Mekach, the sale is valid, and when it's exactly a sixth, so it's Kana Umachzer Ona'a. So then your Kona, the Kinyan works, but you have to return the Ona'a. So anyway, so that's how we paskin in terms of selling items. But now our mission is going to discuss, what about money? What about money that gets devalued and becomes traded at the wrong rate because it's been rubbed out, it's been grinded down? So the money used to actually have real value. It used to be metal that actually weighed something and had real value. So says the Mishnah, Kamatei Asela Chasera V'lo Yeheba Ona'a. How much does the seller have to be missing for it not to be Ona'a to pass it off as a seller? Because after a certain point where it's going to be grinded down, it's not going to be worth a seller anymore. So at what point, how much of it has to be missing for it to be usher to pass it along as a seller? If you look at Rashi, Madbeah HaYotzei, this is the currency, V'tamidu Shochek, and it's constantly being rubbed and grinded down. V'chaser, and therefore lacking from its previous fullness. So how much can it be missing that you can still use it and it's not going to pose a problem of ona'a? So says the Mishnah, right? Whereas when it came to selling objects, items, everything was one-sixth. When it comes to money, there are a whole bunch of different shittos. And the Gemara is going to deal with why that is the case. Why don't we just say, well, one-sixth, it's just like anything else. Why should this be different than anything else? But first, let's see the shittos. Rameir Omer Arba Isaros Isar Ledinar. Rameir says, the long story short, 1/24th of its original value. If you look at Rashi, Isa ledinar vu echad michav dalid bo, 1/24th of it. How do we get 1/24th? Devav ma'a kesef dinar. 6 ma'a kesef makes up a dinar. Ma'a shnei pundionim. A ma'a is 2 pundayons. Pundion shnei isarin. A pundion is 2 isars. Ubugumar mefarish maishna de gabi sharskar armin shsus vikani shom kach vishom kach. And the Gemara will explain why by money we would say there is even a shita that goes as far as 1/24th, whereas by schara, by merchandise, we say 1/6. Good. So that's going to be explained in the Gemara. If you look at Tosos, Isa Ladinar, Frek Tosos, Im Tomar, Vamarava, Kaldav Shab Midav Shab Minim Shab Mishkal, Afil Pachs Mikteon El Choser. Doesn't Rava hold, and don't we paskin that anything that's Shebemidav, Shebeminyan, and Shebemishkal, anything that is clearly measured or counted or weighed, that even less than a Kadeo Na'a, you have to be Choser? So aren't these coins determined, their value is determined by weight? So wouldn't that make it a davar shebemishkal, and therefore no matter how minuscule the number is, pick whatever number you want, even less than that number, you're always going to have to be chozer, because it's something that's weighed precisely. So says Tosos, no, v'yishlamar dahacha b'taras medbeh, nasam v'lo b'taras mishkal. When you give the seller, you're giving it as a seller. You're not giving it as X amount of weight of silver or whatever. You're giving it as a seller, and since you're giving it as currency, it's not considered a davar shebemishkal for these purposes, even though it is the mishkal that initially determines its status as currency of that value. But nevertheless, since you're not using it as a commodity, you're not using it as the metal that it's made of, you're using it as currency, so it's not going to be considered a davar shebemishkal. Anyway, that's Rameir Shita, 1/24th. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arba Pundionos, Pundion Ladinar. 4 Pundionos, or 1 Pundion for dinar, which means 1/12th. 1/12th of its original value, so much more of its original value has to be gone before it's a problem to go ahead and use it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shmona Pundionos, Shnei Pundionim Ladinar. And Rabbi Shimon says what we would have expected, 1/6th, that 1/6th is going to be considered Ona'a. Anything less than that doesn't seem to be a problem. Ad masay mutar lahachzir. Until when can you give it back if you've been cheated with money? How much time do you have before you can go back to the guy who gave you the money and return it to him and get back what you gave him? So bekrachem ad kedei shir l'shulchani. In the larger cities, you only have as much time as it takes to get to a shulchani, get to a money changer. There are professional money changers all over the place in larger cities. So we only give you as much time as it takes to get to the Shulchani, see how much it's really worth, and get back to the person who gave you this coin. Bikfarim ad Arve Shabbosos. But in small villages, you get until Arve Shabbosos. Why until Arve Shabbosos? So says Rashi, Bikfarim Shein Shom Shulchani, ad Arve Shabbosos, Shabbolo Tzia Be'erev Shabbos L'Suda Shabbos. Because anyone who had money in those days, by Erev Shabbos, they would use it. Because by Erev Shabbos, that's at the end of the week. Who needs to save money till, you know, for far in the future, like next week? So they would spend the money Erev Shabbos to buy themselves a Suda Shabbos. So as Yedaim Yuchalotziyav Yikablu Amimenu. So that's when they would know if they're able to spend it, if they're able to use it, because the person's gonna be in for a rude awakening when he goes to buy his wine and challahs for Shabbos, and he's gonna give this coin that he thinks is whatever, a $10 bill, and they're gonna tell him, no, this is only a $5 bill. This isn't worth $10. So at that's the point that he's expected to figure it out. So since that's the point he's expected to figure it out, that's when he's going to be able to go back to the person who gave it to him and cry foul, and he'll be able to say that it was unfair. Rashash, on that Rashi, Rashash writes, Umay yana la abay lekamon de gam betalos bekfarim ad Erev Shabbos. Says the problem with Rashi's pshat is that the Gemara in Amud Beis is going to say that Abaye holds that it's lav dafka by a coin, meaning the Gemara is going to ask why it is that by coins we distinguish between villages and big cities, but when it came to selling a talis, to selling clothing, we don't distinguish between how much time we give you in a big city and how much time we give you in a small village. So Abaye's answer is, there are going to be other answers, but Abaye's answer is, we do distinguish. The distinction is the same for coins and anything else. And when we said previously that you only have as much time as it takes to go to a tagger, to go to someone who knows what he's doing and who knows the prices of things, that meant in a krach, that meant in a big city. But in a chinami, if you live in a village, you also have mayor of Shabbos, Lev of Shabbos, even when you buy a talis. So says Rashash, wait a second. I thought the whole svar of Erev Shabbos is that Erev Shabbos is going to be when you try to spend the money, and that's when you're going to be in for your rude awakening, you're going to find out that the money you have is off, that it's not worth what it's supposed to be worth. How do you apply that svar to a talis? How could Abaye in the Gemara say the same is true by a talis? I bought a piece of clothing, I'm not going to go try to spend the clothing on Friday. What's special that Erev Shabbos when it comes to figuring out that I've been cheated when it comes to clothing? So that's Rosh Hashanah's kasha. Mayan el Abaye lekaman de gam betalis bekfarim at Erev Shabbos. Va'od da adraba he must speak in Muslim lebnei krachim kedisa b'megillah. That the Gemara Megillah seems like the people from these small towns would give Muslim to the bnei kfar, to the bnei krachim. They would be the ones that provide food for the bnei krachim. That's how they made their business. They would sell food to the bnei krachim. So they weren't going out and buying food on Erev Shabbos. They were going out, for the most part, in the kfarim and selling food on Erev Shabbos, asked the Rashash. L'chein anir l'farish de be'erev Shabbos boyim l'shuk v'lokeach ha'sali imo la'aros l'shulchni. He says, no, the issue with the b'nei kfarim on Erev Shabbos is not that they're going to buy food for Shabbos, because that wouldn't explain the talis situation, and it seems against the Gemara Megillah where they're the ones that are providing the food. No, the issue is that on Erev Shabbos they go out to the shuk, they go out to the market. Now, they don't live near the market because they live in a tiny little village, but on Erev Shabbos they're going to go to the shuk. Once they go to the shuk, they're going to have access to a shulchani. The shulchani is going to have a storefront in the shuk also. So once they're going to have access to the shulchani, they're likely to bring the money to him. They'll bring the seller with him to show to the shulchani. And then you understand very well what that has to do with the talis. When it comes to the talis, so also if you're going to the shuk one day a week, you're only going on Erev Shabbos to the shuk. So just like you're going to find the shulchani in the shuk that day, you'll also find a tagger. You'll find someone who's a merchant who sells talis, who will be able to tell you about the value of your talis that day, on that one day that you go to the shuk. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Im haya makira afil achashem asur chodesh mikablei menu veinlo lavel taromes. If you realize that you gave the guy a bad coin, so that you should take it back up until 12 months later. Meaning, even though the guy is only limited to the time that it takes to show it to a shulchani, whether it be in a krach or in a kfar, the erev Shabbos, and the way the Rosh Hashanah understood, which is just another way of saying the time that it takes a ben kfar to show it to a shulchani, but you should take it back for 12 months. That's the menshul thing to do, but ein lo lavel taromas. But that's not meikra din. No one could have any tainas on you if you don't, because all he could do is yell and scream. That's fine, but there's nothing that he could actually do to undo the transaction. Benosel maaser sheni, a third halacha, you can give it as maaser sheni, such a coin. It's been diminished. You can give it as maaser sheni ve'nechoshesh, and you don't have to worry about that. Sheni ol nefesh ra, because since not accepting this coin in a store is considered to be inappropriate, it's considered to be very stingy, and it normally is accepted in the stores, so Mela, it's going to be able to be used as Maaser Sheni as well. It's considered the full coin for the purposes of Pidyon Maaser Sheni as well, because of whatever the legal currency is going to be able to be used for Maaser Sheni. Okay, so Frak the Gemara. Uriminhi, Ad Kamatei Asela Chaseira V'yeba. How much does the seller have to be missing in order for it to be a problem of ona'a? So you look at Rashi. What's the problem? Alma bahani shiur, meaning the Gemara doesn't then say some contradictory amount. The Gemara just says that's it. There's our contradiction. That's that line where it asks how much a seller has to be missing for it to be a problem of ona'a is against our Mishnah. How in the world does that line against our Mishnah? So that's why we need Rashi. Says Rashi, Alma Bahani Shiri Havya Ona. It sounds like if you hit those numbers, 1/24th according to Rabbi Meir, and 1/12th according to Rabbi Yehuda, and 1/6th according to Rabbi Shimon, that is Ona. But Umas Nisan Katani Velo Yehe. But our Mishnah said, Kamatei Hasel Chasera Velo Yehe Ba Ona. How much could it be missing? And it won't be a problem of ona'a. I mean, it sounds like if you hit those numbers on the head, that if you get exactly those numbers, that it's not going to be a problem of ona'a. Amma bahani shiuri lav ona'i adika tfei. That it's going to have to be diminished in value more than the 1/24th, 1/12th, 1/6th, depending who you hold like, in order for it to be a problem of ona'a. So that's the stira. The stira is the way we frame the question. The answers are going to be the same. The numbers are going to be the same. But the stira is in the way we frame the question. Are these numbers, 1/24th, 1/12th, 1/6th, themselves a shir ona'a? Or are they the maximum you can have without yet hitting the shir ona'a? So I'm Rav Papa lo kasha, it's not a stira. Tana didan kachashu mimata lamala. Tana bra kachashu milamala lamata. It depends which direction you're coming from. Right? If you look at Rashi, Amar Rav Papa, liol me melach bani shuri havya ona. You hit those numbers on the head, that is ona. V'lo yehed masnisin lavashi ura kai ela pachus mikshir kai. Our Mishnah is going from less than that shir. It's saying, up until when do you have a point where it's not going to be ona? So it says, yeah, up until you hit these numbers. Once you hit those numbers, though, that is ona'a. And that's why the Brisa says, Ad kama tehei hasel chaseira v'yeba ona'a, means at what point is it going from higher numbers? At what point is it still going to be considered ona'a? Going from higher, I mean, obviously, if it's half gone, that's for sure ona'a. A third gone is for sure ona'a. A fourth gone is for sure ona'a. At what point is it still ona'a? And then coming from that perspective, so we're going to say, yeah, up until 1/24th, 1/12th, 1/6th, that's going to be considered ona'a. But that hitting that number on that is considered ona'a. It's just a matter of perspective, whether you approach it from lamala lamata or lamata lamala, which direction we're coming from. If you look at Tosos, v'tana braka chashim milamala lamata, igar sinam bebraisa ad kama, Asi shapir the chashuv milamala lamata v'savar ad va'ad b'chlal. Meaning, if you're goreis in the price of the words ad kama, which we do seem to be goreis, right? In our version, it says ad kama. So it says Tosfos works out very well that that's called milamala lamata, and ad means ad v'ad b'chlal. That we're saying more than if you do, if it's missing a half, a third, a quarter, that's for sure ona'a, and ad kama. How much less can it be missing and still be ona'a? And we're using ad in terms of ad v'ad b'chlal, that missing a sixth or a 12th or a 24th, depending who you hold like, is still considered ona'a. But the truth is, without the word ad, you don't even need to say that it's going milamala lamata. I mean, why assume we're coming from any direction? Just assume that the question is, what is shir onah? What is the number? Give me a number that is onah. So you don't have to be coming from any direction that, yeah, I know a quarter and a third. No. What is onah? Just say kama, shir onah, el kamashmo, kama yehe onah, dalidi sarin, va'agav, dekamer latana didam, milamata lamala, nakal latana bra, milamata lamata. If you don't have the word ad in the brisa, then the only reason we mention that the brisa goes milamata lamata is for parallel sake, to keep it parallel with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah, we have to say, is going milamata lamala, because our Mishnah assumes that it's lo yehe ba'onah. So our Mishnah, we must be saying less is it, when it gets diminished by a smaller amount is not onah, and we want to know at what point we've hit the point of onah. So the Mishnah, the only way to say it is mimata lamala. So to keep it parallel, we say that the price is also milamala lamata. But if you don't have the word ad, it's not necessary to say that that's pshat in the price. Says Gemara Vayter, Maishra b'sel depligi, Maishra b'tal is lo pligi. Right, the question we've been waiting for. Why is it that when it comes to money, you have a machlokas, and when it comes to a talis, when it comes to merchandise, there's no machlokas about the shir onah. Everyone holds 1/6. Why does the number 1/6 not work just as well for a mayor and Rabbi Yehuda by money as it does by merchandise? So Amar Rava, man tana talis Rabbi Shimon hi. So Rava says it does. The whole shita by talis that it's 1/6 is Rabbi Shimon. All those mishnayos were going like Rabbi Shimon. But Eino Kinami, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda would hold different numbers. Unbelievable chiddush. Abaye, Amar Abaye says no, there's a difference. Talis ad sus machilinish damri and she ashik legabech v'shavil kresech. When it comes to a talis, up until a sixth, people are mochel. People are mochel a lot more when it comes to a talis. Why? Because you know there's a popular expression, ashik legabech, which means you overpay for things that you wear on your back. Meaning for that which you're going to get use out of, sometimes you'll someone will say to somebody, you know, you paid too much for that. You know what? I'm going to use it. I'm going to get a lot of good use out of it. So if you feel like you can get a lot of good use out of it, so you don't feel as bad about overpaying for something, if you feel like you're going to get a lot of good use out of it. V'shavi l'kreisech, but you're only going to pay the value for your stomach, for food that you're going to eat. You only want to pay the value. You don't want to overpay for food. But a talis, you're willing to pay a little more for. But sela, when it comes to money, kivin v'losagi de lo machel. What do you tell? No one's going to be mochel money. You're not going to be mochel when you get the wrong amount of money. But a talis, you're willing to overpay a little bit for. So that's why the margin of error when it comes to money is much narrower in the views of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Gufa, ad kamatei hasela chaser v'yeba onah. So let's go back to that price. How much should the seller be missing and it's still going to be considered onah? How much could it be missing for it to be considered onah? Rameir omer, arba'a isaros iso ledinar. Rabbi Yehuda omer, dalid pundionos pundion ledinar. Rabbi Shimon omer, shmona pundionos shnei pundion ledinar. So far no change, right? 1/24, 1/12, 1/6. Good. Yisrael kein mocher b'shavya. If it's any more than that, then you can sell it for its shavya, for its stated value, for its normal, for its face value, right? If it's more than that, you can sell it for its value. So says Gemara, ad kama tivchas v'yei rasha l'kayma. How much can it be missing, and you're still allowed to keep it? Meaning, at what point do we say that this is like having an avla in your house? Meaning, you're not allowed to have things in your house that you can be used to cheat people with. And if you're going to have something in your house that's that looks like a dollar bill, but it's not worth a dollar, so that's a problem. So at what point do we say you can't keep this around anymore because it's just asking for trouble? Similar to like the Gemara says that you're not allowed to have a shtar perua b'toch peso. Why can't you have a shtar perua b'toch peso? There's nothing wrong inherently with having a piece of paper that says that somebody owes you money even though they've already paid back. There's nothing wrong with having a piece of paper locked up in your closet. The problem is that you could then use it, right? So over here, and the concern is though that you're not allowed to have it in your house because it's something that's only going to cause trouble. If you use it, by definition, you're going to be cheating somebody. So over here as well, at a certain point the money goes down in value. If you're using this money, you're cheating somebody. So besela ad shekel. So with a sela up until a shekel, right? If you look at Rashi, besela ad shekel, Rashi says sela hatavua upochis v'holich ad shekel mutar l'kaimo. If it devalues up until a shekel's worth, forth, you could keep it. Once it's that devalued by that much, there's no way you're going to be able to fool anybody with it anyway. Because then everyone will be able to see that it's missing a significant amount. When it's less than a shekel, you can't keep it. Meaning when it goes down in value to the point where it's less than a shekel, then we're afraid you're going to use it as a shekel, and that's where you're going to be able to trick people, and people won't be able to tell the difference that easily. Because they're not going to be able to tell that it's really less than a shekel, because it's much wider. Because you're talking about a coin that started out as a seller, so it started out as being worth a lot more than a shekel. So when you're trying to pass it off as a seller, and it's gone down in value to the point that it's almost a shekel, or at a shekel, so we're not worried about that. No one's going to buy it. But when you're trying to pass it off as a shekel, and it's gone down in value below the point of a shekel, now we're worried. That's where we think that is dangerous. In the chaser mishkal shekel, who mat be'er shel chatzi sela. Shekel is a half a sela. V'dinar mat be'er katan, shnai mehem yesh b'shekel. There are two dinars in a shekel. So b'dinar, when it comes to a dinar, ad rova. If a dinar is at a quarter of its original size, you're allowed to keep it. So, and we're assuming that it means a quarter of its original size, as opposed to by the seller, where we said a shekel, which is half of its original size. Pachs mikain isar aser. But if it's an isar less than that, it's going to be aser. It's going to be aser to keep around. Hareza lo yimkrena, and therefore you cannot sell it. Lo l'tagar, v'lo l'charam, v'lo l'harag, mibre shemar mibasacherim. Not only can't you keep it around, you can't sell it to people who are dishonest people. They'll tell you they want to use it for all sorts of other things, they're not going to use it as money. No, you can't sell it to inherently dishonest people. So that's what a charam is an adam anas, a harag is a rotzeach, right? These are bad guys, these are muggers and murderers. And a tagar, what's a tagar? A tagar is a merchant. So what's so bad about selling it to a tagar? So it's interesting, the Rambam leaves out tagar from the discussion. The Rambam says that you can't sell it to a matbea shachuk, to a charam or a harag, and he leaves out tagar. Tagar, apparently you're allowed to sell it. So some explain, the shoel in the Shaul's Chuvus Ein Yitzchak thought that perhaps the pshat of the Rambam is that the Rambam was bothered, why should a tagar be suspected that maybe he's going to give off this coin that's all rubbed out and that's so chaser, as if it's a shalem, as if it's a perfectly valid fine coin? Don't we have a chazaka throughout Shas that uman lomaro umnaso, that when you're dealing with a professional, he's not going to want to do something that's going to ruin his business, and therefore you're allowed to trust that he's going to be honest in something that relates to his business? So why are you worried that he's going to be maro umnaso, that he's going to ruin his business in this way? So there's no reason to not sell it to a tagar. We have a chazaka uman lomaro umnaso. We were just discussing this chazaka on Shabbos when it comes to like the ice cream stores, right? Normally the halacha is when a non-Jew has kosher food that he's delivering from a Jew, so you order from the pizza store that's under a reliable hashgacha. So the pizza box doesn't just come closed; it comes with a sticker on it, or the donuts or whatever. Right? They come whenever you order a meal. It comes double wrapped in a way that they couldn't have tampered with it. Yet you go on the OU website and you find that, and you ask the OU if you can go into a ice cream store that does not have hashgacha on the particular franchise, on the store, but it's Haagen-Dazs, and the Haagen-Dazs flavor you know has hashgacha. So they'll tell you that you see them taking it out of the Haagen-Dazs tubs in the freezer, so that's perfectly fine. Where's the seal? There's no seal on it. So it's an open tub. They're sticking things into it. No, but there is this chazaka, umen lomaro umnaso, that they're not going to ruin the Haagen-Dazs name. They're not going to ruin their whole business because they have to bear that name. And if they sell you somebody else's ice cream and it tastes different, that they're going to lose their entire business. So that's why you have such a chazaka. So that's what he wanted to suggest. That maybe the Rambam doesn't mention tagar because the Rambam is bothered by the word tagar. He thinks tagar is inaccurate, that the tagar should be trusted because it's umen lomaro umnaso. However, in the Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak, he doesn't buy it. He doesn't think that you can be dealt with the word tagar for that, because he says this chazaka, that uman lamaru umnasa, helps, like all chazakos, to be mevarer what happened in the past. But it's not going to be matir, the future. Uman lamaru umnasa is not something we're going to rely on for the future. Okay, so he's mitaretz that maybe only by a tagar who's already been chashul anona'a and has already been someone who we know is a liar, that's who the chacham say you're not allowed to sell to. That's what the Gemara means when it says don't sell to a tagar. Don't sell to a tagar who's known for his dishonesty. The Rambam leaves out the word tagar not because he didn't have the girsa, but because tam tagar you're allowed to sell it to. A regular guy, perhaps you're allowed to sell it to. So, okay, there are a bunch of different terutzim. Says the Gemara Vayter. So lo yimkren lo tagav lo lacharim lo laharim neishar marim ba'asacherim, because they're going to use it to trick other people, and you don't want to give them that opportunity to be able to trick other people. Eli yikvenevi yitlana b'tzavar b'no b'tzavar b'ito. So instead, you should puncture a hole in it and give it as a necklace to your son and to your daughter, meaning you have this money that's been totally devalued, so puncture a hole in it and give it to your son and to your daughter. Says Tosfos, v'achi perusha the bottom Tosfos, afilu amanas l'nokva lo yimkren l'tagra l'charam, avlachirim yimkren amanas l'nokva, meaning if you're not allowed to keep it, of course you're not allowed to give it to a tagar or everyone else. What's the point of singling out those people? You shouldn't be allowed to sell it to anybody. So Tosfos knows there's a big difference between everybody else and these people. Everybody else, you're allowed to sell it if they tell you they're going to make a necklace out of it, that they're just going to poke a hole in it and use it as a charm on a necklace. Anyone else, you'd be allowed to sell it under those circumstances. The tagar, the charam, those people, even if they tell you they're just buying it to make a necklace out of, you're not allowed to sell it to them. Okay, Amar Mar, Besela ad Shekel. So what did we just say in this brisa? We said that when it comes to a sela, so if it devalues up until the point of a shekel, you're allowed to keep it around when it's devalued up until the shekel, because no one's going to take it as a sela. It's clearly recognizable that it's problematic. Once it gets less than a shekel and you're trying to pass it off as a shekel, then it's not as recognizable, then it's a problem. But dinar ad roven, when it comes to a dinar, you have up until a quarter of the dinar. So frek the Gemara, why the discrepancy? Maishna b'sela ad shekel, maishna b'dinar ad rova. Why by the sela do we say up until it's half gone, and by the dinar we say up until it's a quarter gone? Why the discrepancy in terms of the percentages? Some Rabbi says, no, my rova diktani nami, rova shekel. When we say bedinar ad rova, we mean ad rova shekel, which is a half a dinar. So it is parallel, meaning we're saying till it's half gone by both of them. Amar Rava dekanami dekatani rova velokatani ravia. It says rova, which implies rova shekel, as opposed to ravia, which would imply a quarter of itself, which would be a ravia of the dinar. So shema mina, so we see that it is in fact parallel, that all these coins, up until their half of their original value is gone, you're allowed to still keep it around, because no one is going to assume that it's even if you try to pass it off as face value, no one is going to fall for it, and therefore it's okay. Says the Gemara, lamale l'mitil the dinar b'shekel. Why would we, when we're talking about a dinar, why would we talk in terms of a shekel? So milsa agavorche kamashman dika dinar dasi m'shekel. It's just telling you that a lot of times dinars originally started out as shekels, that shekels that have been devalued ended up becoming dinars. That a dinar that came from a shekel, you're allowed to keep around. A dinar that came from a sela, you're not allowed to keep around. Why aren't you allowed to keep around a dinar abami sela? So if you look at Rashi, dinar abami sela asa l'kaimo, afil lo tzio bedinar, even if you want to use it as a dinar. Timitokshu bami matbea ava urechava, since it came from a very large coin, it originated as a large, thick coin, toen ba la'amdo b'shekel vasilikbu b'tara shekel. People might still view it as a shekel and take it as a shekel. So if it started out as a sela, you can't use it as a dinar. If it started out as a shekel, you can use it as a dinar, because it's recognizable what it was originally used for, and you'll be able to see if it's missing something when it started as a shekel. But when it started as a sela, you're not necessarily going to be able to distinguish whether it's now down to a shekel or it's all the way down to a dinar. Okay, pachas mikain Isser Aser. If it's any less, even an Isser less than this, it's going to be Aser. So Maika Amar, what are we saying? Omer Rabbi Hachik Amar, Paksa Sela Yosu Mikdei Anoa Isser Aser. That if the Sela has been devalued more than the Kedei Anoa, even by a single Isser, it's going to be Aser to use. Amrle Rava Yihachi Afilu Mashu Nami. Sort of says, well, if it's more than the Kitei Ona, even a Mashu, what do you mean, Iser? Why give a number? A Mashu more than the Kitei Ona is Aser. Elam Rava Pachsa Seli Iser Ledinar Aser, Ustamak Rambeir. No, all it's saying is that if a seller goes down in value in Iser Ledinar, which means 1/24th, then it's going to be Aser, and that's assuming, like Rambeir in our Mishnah, that that's the number where it hits the point of Ona. We have a Mishnah. On that line of Abaye, by the way, that's where Tosfos mentions the idea, interpreting Rashi, that when it's less than the Shir Ona'a, if you look in the middle of Tosfos, where Tosfos interprets Rashi to be assuming that when you're dealing with less than the Shir Ona'a, that it's even Mutar L'Chadchila, that you're allowed to rip somebody off by less than Ona'a. Because there's an instant mechila. The Ritva quotes Ramban that's crazy. We can't rip people off. We don't believe in that. And that even if it's less than the Shirona, you're not allowed to rip anybody off. But anyway, that's the Maramakom. Tosfos will be here. Tanan Hasum, we have a Mishnah. Sela Shnivsla V'Eskina Shei Shokol B'Mishkalos Tmeya. A cell that became nifsal, and you fix it up to the point where you can use it as a weight, as a counterweight when you're weighing things. So tamei, it's going to be tamei. It has the din of a kli, right? It's mekabel tuma because you turned it into a kli. You turned it from money into a usable kli. Ad kama tivchas v'yerasha l'kaima. How much could it go down in value, and you're still allowed to keep it? L'sela shnei dinarim. So if it started out as a seller, it can go down 2 dinars worth, and less than that, then you have to yakutz. You have to cut it in half, right? Yakutz rashi says because people are going to come to start using it as a shekel. Yesral kein mai. So Amar Rav Huna pachus mikein yakutz. Yesral kein yakutz. Same is true if it's more than that. You should cut it down. Rabbi Ami Amar pachus mikein yasu. Yesral kein yikayim. Rabbi Ami says no. If it gets devalued less than that, you cut it down. But if it's more than that, you can keep it because then people are going to easily recognize the devaluation and no one's going to confuse it with the seller. So then you're allowed to be mekayim it. There's no problem with it. Meisvei, yesral kein mocher b'shavya. My lav shapachzi yosu mikadeo na'asa. Doesn't that imply that even if it's more than the shiro na'a, you're allowed to be mocher b'shavya? Right? We said that by a seller that has been devalued, you're allowed to be mocher b'shavya based on its value and not be yafa. So we see that you're allowed to keep it around. So says Gemara, no, lo yisera da'kati. No, when it means that it's, when we say it's mocher b'shavi, you can use it for what it's actually worth, not its face value, but what it's actually worth. So that's talking about a case where it has not yet been nifchas k'dei ona'a. It hasn't yet devalued to the point of k'dei ona'a. It's interesting, the Rashash over here also points out that the word shaveh can mean two different things, right? He says mocher b'shavi pirush Rashi be yafe. That he says, "V'tema demila shavya t'shamel sh'shneimu vanim hafechiim." The word shavya seems to be that it's used in two opposite contexts. It could sometimes mean the exact value, and sometimes it means face value. So how do you determine which is which? So he says, "V'ulai bekavana hetik Rashi kan b'shavya b'shnei vavin." He says, maybe when it's b'shavya with two vavs, the shavya b'chad vav perusha k'moshu shava ata le'achar chesrono u'bebeiz vavin muvanu shivoy v'dimyon. He says that the word shava with one vav, just an interesting Hebrew teaching Rashi, very difficult to pick up on this, that shava with one vav is what it's actually worth right now. Shava with two vavs is face value. That if you're calling this coin a sella, so even though right now it's not worth a sella anymore because it's been devalued, it's been chaser, but shava with two vav would refer to its face value of a sella. So shava meaning similar to. That it's similar to how it started out, Olishar Slaim Shleimim, or to any other full seller. Anyway, okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Meisvei ad kama tivchas v'yerasha l'kayma, b'sela ad shekel. My lav de pachas porta porta. Wait a second, the seller goes down up until the shekel and you're allowed to keep it. Isn't that talking about where it devalues slowly but surely and still you're allowed to keep it up until the shekel? So we see that when it's devalued by less, it's not going to be a problem that people are going to confuse it for a selah, because it only gets to the point of a shekel if you kept it until that point. And if you kept it until that point, it meant it devalued slowly but surely. So it says Gemara, no, who says devalued slowly but surely? Lo, did not fill the nura, the ifchos b'chad zimna. It fell into a fire, the whole thing, just to totally devalue all at one time. It's not slowly but surely. Amar Mari, yikveni v'yitlan b'tzavr b'no b'tzavr b'ito. You can take this devalued coin, make a hole in it, and give it to your son or daughter as a necklace. Right? Probably depends on time and place if you can give it to your son as a necklace. Right? Depending on what the minig is, whether it's begadisha or not. But okay, but assuming that it's not. Assuming that it was normal for men to wear necklaces also. So you can give it to tzavar beno, tzavar bito, let them wear it as a necklace. So reminhi, lo yasena mishkal ben mishkalosav, that you, we said you're not allowed to turn it into a weight to use amongst your weights. Vol yizruketa ben grutosav, and you should not throw it amongst your broken silver kelim. Below yikvenu v'yitlanu b'tzavar beno b'tzavar bito, there's the key line, and you're not supposed to puncture it and use it as a necklace for your son or daughter. Ella, rather, what are you supposed to do? How do you get rid of it? Oh, yishchok, you grind it. Oh, yitok, or you melt it. Oh, yikots, or you cut it. Oh, yolach li'amamelech, and throw it into the amamelech. But anything short of that is no good. Some say Rav Lazar said directly, some say we got it from Rav Huna Rav Lazar. Lo kasha, kan b'emtza kan min atzad. It depends where the pachas is. It depends where the hole that you're going to make is. If you're going to make the hole in the middle, so the Rashi says, b'emtza yikavena demisha nakva lo sagim. Min atzad lo yikavena l'fi shar mai shem tse'ena yakutz oso saviv achi yotzi asanekev. If you make the hole in the side of the coin, so then people could just shave off that side and still try to pass it off as currency. You make the hole right in the middle, so no one will ever be able to pass it off as currency. It's got a hole right in the middle of it. So that's the answer to the stira, whether you can or cannot make it as a necklace for your child. Right, so now it gets a little easier. The Mishnah had said that up until when can you return the money when you've been cheated with the money? So it depends. In the large cities, until the amount of time that it takes to go to the shulchani, because there are money changers all over the place. In the smaller cities, until Erev Shabbos. So we already alluded to this before. Maishna b'salad the maflik, maishna b'talas the maflik. Why, when it came to merchandise, do we just say until you can show it to a tagar, and we don't distinguish between large cities and small cities? We don't say in a village, we give you until Erev Shabbos or until some other time that you can go and show it to somebody. We just say the amount of time it takes to show. So Abai says, no, all the previous Mishnayos, when we're talking about a talis, and we said you can show it to a tagar, that was talking about if you live in a krach, if you live in a big city and a tagar is readily available. But if you live in a kfar, if you live in a little village and a tagar is not available, you have until Erev Shabbos. That's what we pointed out before. The Rashash says, why Erev Shabbos? According to Rashi, it's because you're spending money that has nothing to do with the talis. That's why the Rashash said, no, Erev Shabbos is when you're in the shuk, and that's where you're going to find the tagar. The weakness with Rosh Hashanah's pshat is that then there's really not a chiluk between the krach and the kvar, because they're both until you go to a tagar, right? It's the same shir. It's just that in the kfar, you're not going to get to the tagar till Friday. Although the difference could be that in the kfar, we don't measure the time that it takes to get from the kfar to the tagar and get back. We give you extra leeway because we assume you're not going to make that trip. It's a journey. So you're not going to make that trip in the middle of a week. So we give you time starting on Friday. We say you get until Friday when you're expected to make that trip anyway, and then you can go out of your way, add one extra errand on your list to go to the tagar. So that's the difference between the krach. Whereas the krach, you buy it on a Tuesday, there are tagarim all around. So find one. Go to one and go 5 minutes out of your way, and we only give you those 5 minutes. We don't give you any longer than that. Rava Amar Talis Kalinish Kimle Begavah. Rava says, no, different svara. By Talis, everyone is familiar. Sela Kimin Talav Kalinish Kimle Begavah El Shulchani. When it comes to the values of different currencies, only the Shulchani really knows. Hilkoch Bekrachim Dika Shulchani Achir El Shulchani. So in a large city where there's Shulchani available, we give you the amount of time it takes to show the Shulchani. Bekfarim Delek a Shulchani Adar Veshabasos to Salkan Shuka. So in a small village where there's no Shulchani, We give you until Erev Shabbos when you're going to go to the Shuk. But by the Talis, you don't need as much time, even in a Kfar, because more people are familiar with the value of a Talis. You don't really need the world's greatest expert to figure out the value of a Talis. Then the Mishnah says, and if you realize that you passed off bad money to somebody, you should take it back within 12 months. Say, Heicha, where are we talking about? In a large city, we said that it's only returnable until the guy has time to show it to a shulchani. In a small village, it's only returnable until Erev Shabbos. Where do you have 12 months? Who gives 12 months? That's forever. So Amar Rav Chista, Midas Chassidus Shanukah. No, we're saying if you're a good guy, if you want to be a chassid, you want to do the right thing by somebody, and you passed off bad money to him, so you should take it back even within 12 months. It would be the nice thing to do. Frak the Gemara, Ihachi, Ema Seifa, Ein Lo Lavela Taromas, but then it says, you should take it back within 12 months, and Ein Lo Lavela Taromas. All he could do is argue. Who's going to argue? Who's going to fight? Who's going to put up a Leman? Il chassid, if we're talking about this great chassid that's taking the money back, right? I passed off this bad money. Someone comes back 11 months later and says, here, take it back, you gave me bad money. So I don't have to take it back, but I decide to be a chassid and I'm going to take it back. So what, then in the level of terms, then I should go and fetch about it and complain that the guy's giving me back my money? Il chassid, lo kabuli lo kabulaminev, lo teromas tahavilei. Don't take it back, and you won't have taromas on the guy. Don't be a chassid just so that you can then go complain that this guy's a jerk, that he's giving you back the money. You didn't have to take it back. It was up to you. You caused your own problems, right? Be practical for a second. It doesn't have to, you know, you didn't have to do it. No one forced you to do it. So that's ridiculous. What do we mean in the law of taromas? It must be the other guy. But the guy's a tzaddik. I'm giving him back the money 11 months too late, and he's taking it. I'm going to have tainas on him. He took it back. He has this unbelievable return policy. So it says, no, hachi kamar, ha'achar, afal pishein mekabli menu, ein lo lavel tromas. No, what it means to say is, even though it's the nice thing to do to take it back within 12 months, if somebody doesn't take it back within 12 months, you have no din Torah against him. You can't sue him. You can't do anything about it. All you can do is complain. You can, you can complain to all your friends about him, but that's about it. There's nothing else you're really able to do. Obviously, if someone does take it back, no one's going to be complaining. The guy who took it back is such a tzaddik and a chassid. Why would he be complaining? And it was within his hands. And the other guy isn't going to be complaining because look, he was such a tzaddik and a chassid. Right? And then we said that you can use this money as Ma'aser Sheni, and you don't have to worry about using it as Ma'aser Sheni money, because after all, it is usable money. It's just that only a Nefesh Ra'a wouldn't take the money. We see that someone who's very particular about the money that he's going to take is called a Nefesh Ra'a, that we label him as a Nefesh Ra'a. Vahani mili hu de sagiluhu. And that's only if he has enough. That if you're going to switch a seller for a prutos, so you should do it at its value. But if you're going to be mechal, you should be mechal based on its face value. So my kamar, what does that mean? Halchi kamar, afal pi kishabala parta b'shavya. Even though when you take a little bit worn down seller and you want to be mefarid it on smaller coins, you're mefarid it for what it's actually worth right now, not for its face value. Still kshu mechalala, when you're being mechal it for ma'aser sheni, to be mechal ma'aser sheni on it, mechalala biyafa, you're allowed to be mechal as if it were still in its fullest value. You're allowed to be mechal it at its face value. So says Gemara Lememra, the Savra Chizkiah, the Mezalzalinim, the ma'aser sheni. Chizkiah holds you're allowed to be mezalzal ma'aser sheni and give it at its face value when it's not clearly not at face value anymore. For Chizkiah, ma'aser sheni, shein bo shav pruta, omer hu, chumsho, mechulal al ma'os harishonos, fishiev shalol adam, l'samsei ma'osav. That Chizkiah is one that says that if you have ma'aser sheni that's less than a shav pruta, you should say that it and its chomesh are mechulal on other ma'aser sheni money that you have, because mistama, when you were mechal ma'aser sheni the first time, you erred on the side of caution and you gave more money than necessary. So now this papas mishav pruta should add on to this. This is the concept, the basis of the concept of pruta chamura, I believe. But we'll get to that tomorrow, maybe. So anyway, so don't you see the chizkiah is very particular that you should make sure not to cheat ma'aser sheni? So he says, no, my biyafa. What do we mean biyafa? Bitoris yafer the trei zili lomazal zlinim bay. That biyafa means that you should you should treat it bitoris yafa, and you're not mezalzel it in a double way. You know, we'll go back to that. We'll discuss. We're right in the middle of ma'aser sheni, so we'll go back and explain all the ma'aser sheni stuff tomorrow.